on BYUSN, the preseason all Big 12 team released yesterday. Hey, at least one Cougar made the cut. We'll tell you who it is, plus which player we think has a shot to be all Big 12 at the end of the season. What are the toughest and easiest Big 12 football games on BYU's schedule? We'll use the Big 12 preseason poll to help us gauge that and make our lists.
Blaine Fowler will join us to take a closer look at the Big 12 football preseason poll and the Cougars being picked to finish 13th. Amari Whiting and Cambry Barber of BYU Women's Basketball join us to discuss offseason workouts and just how the team is building for year two in the Big 12. And oh no, we haven't forgotten. In honor of the 1996 throwback uniforms, the top five plays from the 96 season.
Give me all the drop shadows. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy day before July 4th. It is Wednesday, July 3rd. I am Spencer Linton. He is a man who has his BYU football nightlight ready to rock, Jason Shepherd.
First of all, how did you know that? I don't tell anybody that.
Isn't it that spinning helmet?
Yeah, that is in my office, which is just defies everything to me. I'm just in amazement.
Defies all logic.
It's just a magnet, but it's still just spinning on its own. It's
got a nice little light.
I could look at it for hours in just pure amazement.
Yeah.
Much like I did last night watching the video coming out of the brand new lights at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. How cool is that?
LED.
By the way, I need the lights in my house to be able to turn blue. That would be awesome.
When power plays in between the third and fourth quarter, and you're seeing it on BYU TV right now, with the crowd pumping, and let's say BYU's up by three on Oklahoma State, and it's getting to that fourth quarter, the place is going to be rocking, Jason.
I know. I'm excited. It's kind of funny because something like lights may seem so small, but what it can add to the overall environment and ambiance of the whole night, it's pretty cool. I'm looking forward to it.
No more afternoon games. Cougs hunt at night. As we documented all last season, night games are better for BYU, and this is just another reason to show why that is the case. Hey, by the way, BYU opens the season at the newly lit Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
Oh yeah.
In how many days?
Countdown to the Salukis.
59 days. 59 days away.
Under 60.
Less than 2 months away.
Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go.
Plenty of reason to rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
How in the world did he catch that? It is intercepted by Jacob Robinson. Ben Bywater.
Tyler Perry, he's coming for blood.
What's Trending, presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. The preseason all-Big 12 team out for all to see as of yesterday, and BYU defensive lineman Tyler Batty named to the first team, BYU's only selection. So, Jason, one, what are your thoughts on BYU's Tyler Batty being the lone selection? And we'll get to the other questions in just a moment.
First of all, well-deserved. He absolutely deserves to be on this list. And I think we were all, and we've had similar discussions, you know, I think it was a couple of weeks ago where we were talking, well, how many do you expect BYU to have on the all Big 12 team? And I think most of us at least said one for sure, and it was Tyler Batty. There's a possibility of maybe more, which, you know, I think Jack Kelly was one I think we wondered about. Whether or not he may make it, but obviously just coming in, it's kind of new. But yeah, it's well-deserved. This is about what I expected. I thought BYU would get one, and I thought it would be Tyler Batty. So it's pretty much what I expected. And honestly, him coming back to this defense this year, having some opportunities, but choosing to come back to BYU for one last season, it is so big for continuity, but also for what he brings. And I know he's coming in with an attitude, and he wants to make sure that his last year in Provo is a big one, and that is really good for the BYU defense.
They need his discipline, they need his leadership, and quite frankly, they need his ability to potentially end up on the all Big 12 first team. BYU absolutely needs this guy to be first team at the end of the season. That means health. And certainly that means execution and performance, Jason. If he is a postseason All-Big 12 performer,
then this is a massive, massive boost for a defensive line that has been largely ineffective, Jason, over the last 3 years. Not that individuals haven't made some plays and done some good things, but as a collective unit, there's a lot to be desired for what BYU's defensive line has or has not done in the last three seasons. They just need more, and Tyler Batty coming back for one more season in Provo is a huge boost to help set the tone, to lead from the front, to all of those cliches, to show others on the defensive line what it takes to compete in and be successful in the Big 12 in the trenches.
Well, ever since Kalani came to BYU as the head coach, he has talked about your guys up front. They have got to have a certain level of intensity and physicality. And so he has talked about how important that position is specifically, that defensive line is. And he certainly knows all about it, having coached some excellent college football players that have gone on into the NFL on that side of the ball and certainly at that position. But, you know, the fact that they have put such a premium on how important that is, so much focus has been put on that, and with guys like Sione Puha involved and helping that out, I have high hopes for what the defensive line can do this year.
Sure.
Because I know how important it is for in the building that be one of BYU's better positions. And so I like the fact that they're really focusing on making sure that position up front is where it needs to be.
In disruption and chaos, whatever word you want to choose for the defensive line, those statistics, and we don't have time to get into the nitty-gritty here, but I can paraphrase it this way. BYU in sacks, forced fumbles, quarterback hurries, they've been bottom fourth of major college football the last two seasons, specifically on the defensive line and up front. It just has not been disruptive enough.
Yep.
Like, it's not all about sacks either.
It's just about the pressure
on the quarterback. In the major statistical categories, BYU, in large part, bottom fourth of college football. Tyler Batty and Isaiah Banya is another guy I'll throw in there, can certainly help that. I'm happy for Tyler. He deserves it. He's back. Now go and show it. If he finishes as a first-team All-Big 12 performer, now BYU's got a real shot to surprise some people and not finish 13th in the Big 12.
Well, and when you're picked preseason, they expect you to be on the list at the end. They pick you for a reason because they expect you to have a really, really good year. So let's push the conversation forward. Taking Tyler Batty out of the equation,
okay,
who has the best chance to be first-team All-Big 12 at the end of the season?
It feels like it has to be somebody on Jay Hill's defense as well. And I'm going to move it back one line to the linebacker core. There are actually a couple of guys that could fill that vacancy or that question you present. I don't think people understand how good Jack Kelly is. If you all had an opportunity to watch him in spring ball and in practice, just the way he moves, his anticipation, Jason, his closing speed is a lot better than you would think. Just looking, like if you just saw him on the street, he's an impressive athletic dude. But man, when you watch him play football, he is instinctual, and his closing speed and his fundamentals are all why Jay Hill cannot say enough good things about this guy. So
you also missed maybe his biggest asset and the biggest reason. Kearns High graduate.
He is a Kearns Cougar.
Kearns Cougar. Greatness comes out of Kearns High School. I'm not sure what happened to me, but Jack Kelly's got it.
Oh, no, I was going to say, he's just behind you in the power rankings.
New.
There's Jason Shepard, and then there's Jack Kelly. Yeah, there you go. Hometown, Kearns, Utah.
Kearns, Utah, there you go.
6'2", 235. He's not a guy that says a lot, Jason. He's very business-oriented. He's the right mental mix of enough crazy and twitchy and just physical gifts to go out and be elite. I think he's going to have a massive season. People will know who Jack Kelly is by the end of the season. Is that enough to get him on the All Big 12 team? I don't know. But they will know.
Yes.
Opponents will know who he is, and BYU fans certainly will know what he can do and what he has shown. And frankly, the linebacker corps got another guy named Ben Bywater.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that
dude,
too.
Let's not forget about Ben Bywater.
So Jack Kelly and Ben Bywater making me feel really good about the middle part of that Jay Hill defense.
Yeah, and I agree with you 100% on Jack Kelly. BYU has a phenomenal history of linebackers in the program, and Jack Kelly, plug and play, fits right into that mold. And I agree with you. He's got that right connection, or that right combination, excuse me, of the athleticism, but also just kind of like reckless abandon. I love it. I love it out of that position.
We all loved A.J. Vonkpichon,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Jack Kelly's a better version of A.J. And that's not a diss on A.J. It's just saying how good Jack is.
Okay, so I agree with you. I stayed on the defensive side as well, but I went back another spot, and I went with Jacob Robinson in the secondary.
Ah, yes.
So you look at what Robinson did last year. He has 8 career interceptions during his time here. 4 of those happened last year. 4 interceptions last year.
And monumental interceptions.
Absolutely. So a career high last year. It was second on the team, by the way, in interceptions behind Eddie Heckard, who obviously is not here anymore. But the thing I love about Jacob Robinson is he is always around the football. He puts himself in position to make plays, just like we saw right there.
He saved the game in a lot of ways against Sam Houston.
Yes. Ugh. So I love the trajectory that we're seeing with Jacob Robinson. So I would not be surprised if he has the type of year that would get looked at for possible All Big 12.
Some other honorable mentions. On the offensive side, I think Connor Pay is a largely underrated offensive lineman and center. He's so reliable and just sturdy. And then what about Chase Roberts and Darius Lassiter? Those guys be given enough opportunities to show?
Yeah, look, and
it
comes down to quarterback playing right now. We don't know how that's going to shake out, and we don't know what type of performance we'll get from the quarterback position this year. I know we all have high hopes, but the talent is there for these guys to really excel. We've seen some of the catches that both of these guys have been able to make.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're threats.
Okay, fun 20-second story about Jacob Robinson because you brought him up. I just learned this from Kalani Sitake.
Okay.
Remember the tackle he made to win the New Mexico Bowl?
Yeah.
Awesome,
of course,
against SMU.
Yeah.
He was not supposed to be in that position, okay? Jacob put himself there. Like, the play was called.
So he read it.
Micah Harper was actually on the quarterback because Micah's a more physical player, and SMU's quarterback's a pretty strong guy, right? Well, Jacob switched with Micah, and Kalani was like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's little, right? But he showed you his toughness.
Yes, he did.
Form tackle, perfect. And Kalani's like, at that point, I was like, you know, good job, bro.
Yeah. It's like, no, yes.
Good job. Good job. You did it. very fun. But
That's just cool. Just
drove some real confidence into Kalani of what Jacob can do in that scenario.
That's awesome.
Yeah, love that story. Okay, topic 3. As promised, we're going to give you a list. Everybody loves lists. We broke down the Big 12 preseason poll at length yesterday. But now that we know where the media thinks all of these teams collectively are going to finish, Jason, how would you rank the 9 Big 12 games BYU is going to play in 2024 from toughest at number 1 to most winnable at number 9? And we can go from 9-1 or 1-9, however you want to present it.
Let's go 1-9. We'll start with the hardest down to what we would consider the easiest of the conference games for BYU to win, or just the toughest opponents. So, number 1, I have Utah.
It's a road game.
It's a road game, and it's the rivalry game.
Against the league favorite.
Yes, after not playing for a couple years and after coming off a win over them. And we know how highly they think of themselves. So Utah number 1. Number 2, I've got Oklahoma State, but honestly, I could Oklahoma State and Kansas State, the 2 and 3, I could flip. It really is a 2 and a 2A.
Okay.
I'm going with Oklahoma State because I am counting on Ollie Gordon being available. And obviously that's a situation we just don't know how that's all going to play out, but he's expected preseason offensive player of the year. So then K-State I have 3. Kansas 4, obviously you're getting them at home.
Okay.
Having a healthy, you know, Daniels back at quarterback is big. At UCF, you're traveling the 2 time zones. So obviously they're a good team.
That's a tougher game than most think.
So 6, hosting Arizona, and then 7 and 8 at Baylor, at ASU, and then number 9, home to the Cougars in red.
Disclaimer, we did not see each other's
lists. No, we did not know what the other was doing.
So there are some similarities, but there is one maybe two notable differences in my list compared to yours. Okay. So let's reveal my list from toughest to most winnable. I agree, at Utah, rivalry game, the arch nemesis has been sitting on a loss to BYU now for 3 years. Not fun, and it's in Salt Lake City. I have Kansas State number two. They are picked to finish second in the Big 12. I know it's the Provo home opener, but they're just so solid, so well coached, so talented. That's going to be a tough game for BYU to win at home. Number three, at UCF.
Ooh, that high.
I'm telling you, the two time zone deal.
Yeah.
Having to go to Orlando. The Bright House Stadium, the Bounce House as they call it, way tougher place to play than most people know. The Big 12 is just starting to find out how difficult it is to play. So I got UCF because of the two time zones, especially if it's an afternoon game.
A little muggy.
Like, oh man, that could be rough in Orlando. So that's number three. Kansas number four, which I believe is identical to you.
Yep, we have the same.
I am
so
not,
one and four, we have the same.
Yes, I am not buying Oklahoma State. I know Ollie Gordon II is a special player. I know they returned the quarterback. I know they got six guys on the all-Big 12 first team. Oklahoma State and Provo on a Friday night. It's going to be rocking in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. And I saw enough from BYU last year against Oklahoma State in Stillwater to make me think, okay, there's a little revenge factor there. Friday night, short week. I think BYU is going to beat Oklahoma State.
Have you not seen Mike Gundy's fitness level?
I know.
Somebody that's that fit, you know he's going to have the guys ready.
I'm telling you.
I can't believe you have Oklahoma State that low.
I'm not buying Oklahoma State at middle of October, Friday night in Provo. Vengeance for
look,
BYU.
I don't think BYU can't win that game.
No, I think they are going to win that game.
Yeah, no, look, I would pick BYU to win that game at home.
I think they're going to win that game.
But I'm just surprised you have them that low. But hey, it's your list. We're not judging. No judge. It's like Planet Fitness. It's a no judgment. It's judgment free.
You saw 6 through 9 identical with you.
Yes.
Arizona, Baylor, Arizona State, Houston. But the big differences were UCF and Oklahoma State. A two time zone road trip to the Bounce House. I believe it's tougher than Oklahoma State on a Friday night in Provo. Nothing against Mike Gundy or his hair, which is
great hair,
you know, luscious. But I think BYU is going to win that game. Kansas still freaks me out because their quarterback is back and healthy. And the one like Big 12 game he played healthy last year happened to be against BYU, and Kansas beat BYU. So Jalen Daniels is the real deal. Our question of the day. It's 4th of July Eve. Remember when BYU was an independent? Yeah, I remember that too. You may like not be feeling good inside thinking about it. Maybe you do have some good memories, and that's why the question of the day is what it is. In honor of Independence Day tomorrow, what do you miss most about BYU football being independent? There were some all-time wins in there, Jason.
Yeah.
Some all-time players for that matter.
This first response is exactly what I expected.
Clark and Addison on X says, nothing. I miss nothing. Being in the Big 12 is better in every way.
Amen, Clark. Amen.
I love the sarcasm. We did this because we knew the sarcasm would flow.
We knew this was going to be the way it goes.
Greg Schaefer on X, playing Idaho State on Rivalry Week. Those were the days. Okay. At the Casual Hippie on X actually gives an answer that makes some sense.
This is legit.
BYU fan. A lot of BYU fans feel this way. Not having to deal with the University of Utah and their fans every year.
Look, I loved having the two in completely different places. I loved it, personally. I know most people didn't. I loved it.
The ability to schedule big-time games at any point in the year, like the places that it opened up to BYU within Independence was awesome.
Yep.
Nebraska, Wisconsin, Notre Dame, like... That was cool to like have like a bowl game every week mentality in some ways where it's just like, oh man, who's the opponent this week? Oh, another big name. That was fun. Hashtag BYUS on X, Facebook, and Instagram. Tell us what you miss about independence. Sarcasm and all is encouraged.
Nothing. I knew that was the first one we were going to get. All right, tune in this Friday for part two of our BYU Football Back to the 80s special. We'll be breaking down BYU's national championship season with the great Robbie Bosco. Friday, noon Eastern on both BYU TV and BYU Radio.
All right, after the break, football out, basketball in. Women's basketball specifically, star point guard Amari Whiting back for her sophomore sensational year. She's hoping it's a big jump. And freshman Cambry Barber. They give us an update on summer workouts and Sunday dinner at the Whiting home. This is BYUSN.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
I think every single person on our roster plays their role.
Davenport hits another three, and Emma Calvert is in a zone.
Amari Whiting flexing as she.
Amari Whiting from way downtown.
We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. Hope you're enjoying your 4th of July Eve and are getting set for a fantastic barbecue tomorrow alongside Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. Are you barbecuing tomorrow, by the way?
TBD.
Okay.
We're still debating on what our actual plans are.
I love that, Jason.
Yeah.
Open day.
Yeah.
An open day.
Yeah. We're just going to go with the flow.
It rarely happens for us.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. We have an opportunity and had an opening in the Cougar Council Room yesterday to welcome in not one but two BYU women's basketball players, notably star Amari Whiting, who's ready for a big sophomore season, and the newly signed freshman Cambry Barber. So Jason and I go two on two with BYU women's basketball. That interview happens now. A dynamic duo of BYU women's basketball with us in Studio B, specifically Amari Whiting, a veteran at this point, right, Amari?
Sure.
And one of the new faces to BYU Women's Hoops, Cambry Barber. Great to have both of you on set.
Thank you, guys.
All right, summer workouts are underway. It's happening. A question for both of you, but Amari, how do you feel about the culture and the excitement around the team based on what you've seen in the summer?
I think we've just had like a lot of good vibes in our gym. Just everyone's been getting after it. Coach doesn't have to even ask us like get up extra shots after practice. Just everyone's grabbing a ball, grabbing a manager, and just shooting. But it's been fun. Like even getting to know the girls, like it's just a different feeling. Obviously, from last year, we lost a lot of people, but I mean, we got 9 new people, and just brings a lot of intensity and a lot of fun. So.
And Cambry is one of the 9 newcomers. So as a newcomer, Cambry, how do you view BYU basketball based on summer workouts?
It's tough, but it's fun. I like the girls are fun. Everyone's super nice, and I'm having a good time. Yeah, putting in the work.
Okay, so nice is an interesting word, right, Jason? We want everybody to be nice, but really, when the basketball begins, it's like. So, what's the competition like? Like, how feisty are we talking, Cambry? Have you seen things get in practice?
Not too feisty.
Okay. I mean, Amara, are you holding back?
We haven't been playing like a ton of like scrimmaging, if that makes sense. I mean, we play against our practice boys, and we'll get after them for sure. But like between the girls, not crazy.
Okay, so nothing. When the boys come into play, that's when it goes
get
next level, Cambry.
Yeah.
Throw some elbows around, things like that.
A little physical,
All right, Cambry, since you are freshman, one of the newcomers, let's get to know you a little bit. You're from Idaho. Give everybody an idea of your background and why BYU is the right place for you.
It's always been my dream school to come here, actually. So it was nice to get the offer. And then I just love it here. Like the culture, the people, the coaches are amazing. Like that it's a good coaching staff here. A little background about me. I've been playing basketball most of my life. So I played volleyball too, so a little bit. But yeah, I just like to be active and yeah.
Has Heather Olmstead contacted you at all about dual sport at BYU and volleyball?
No.
You're solely basketball.
Yes.
Okay, from Idaho, again, obviously, Amara, your mom, and you know the Idaho drill. So when did you first come in contact with BYU and specifically Amber? Was it when you were playing high school basketball when she was coaching there?
No, I never met them in high school. We never even played Burley as my high school team. So I just came to the elite camp, and that's where my sophomore year, I came to elite camp, and that's where I first met Amber. It was her first year, yeah. So that's when I got my offer and met her for the first time, so.
Well, Amari, since you've been through the drill already 1 year and everything you've experienced your first year as a collegiate athlete and now the first year in the Big 12, what do you take from year one that you're hoping to kind of push forward in year two?
Year one was just kind of hard for, I think, all of us just because it was, the Big 12, really competitive, and I was coming off my ACL, so I was, like, already out of year. So it just took a little bit of getting used to. But I think that, like, with this group, we're going to be able to fight every night. I mean, yeah, we have a lot of new people, but I think that, like, we'll be able to get the team chemistry and camaraderie down. I mean, all of us are hanging out off the court all the time anyways. And I just think that that goes a long way. And so I'm excited. But I just think that the biggest takeaway from last year was we just got to show up every night. I think there's a lot of games that we were super close. If we would have just started strong, we would have finished it. So we're like always losing by like, you know, 5-8. And I don't think that'll be a problem with this group. I think we're good. So
how much do you think it just helps going through that and knowing what the Big 12 is all about and knowing what it takes? How much more confident do you personally feel heading into year two?
Yeah, I feel a lot more confident just because, like you said, like you really have to just experience it because it is the best of the best. And with adding all these new teams, like obviously we're going to face like some of the top every night. And so, yeah, I just think that having that under my belt, like me being able to come in, I think that I'll be able to just know what to expect. And it's nice because now we have like people on our team that have been through it that can help, you know, the new ones come.
Yeah. And Cambry, what do you expect your role to be as a newcomer? What are you hoping it evolves into as you step into the Big 12?
Honestly, whatever's needed. I mean, I think I'm a good defensive player, rebounder. So like that's my strong suit, but like honestly, anywhere that's needed, I can play.
I was just gonna ask you, like, if you had to explain your skill set to somebody, what would you do? And you would start with defense and rebounding?
Yeah, that's definitely what I would start with.
Listen, yeah. Lauren Gustin set a pretty good example of what you
definitely
want there, right?
No, she's amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
So does it help? Because Amari, you know, alluded to it. He had 9 new faces, you being one of them. And it's freshmen, it's also transfers that are coming in. Does it help someone like you sort of get acclimated when there's so many other new people going through similar things at the same time?
Yeah, I feel like it's not as like less pressure, but like kind of like we're all kind of like new. Yeah. And we're all like fighting for a spot. So it's been not as hard, like in a way.
Amari, what's the identity of this team thus far?
I think we're just a bunch of fighters, like, honestly. I think, yeah, we got a bunch of freshmen obviously wanting to prove, you know what I mean, that they can hang with some of these girls. And then a bunch of transfers, like girls coming off injuries. Like, we got Ari, girls coming off bad years or, you know, places that they felt like they deserved more PT. And so all of us are just hungry. Like, we want it so bad. And I think that last year, like, the girls that are returning, like, we didn't do as well as we hoped. Yeah, we finished like 10th, but like,
it's one spot higher than you were picked.
One spot higher.
Let's go.
But I think all of us are just so hungry for it. Like, we want it. And obviously it's been showing during this preseason. We've been putting the work.
How different do you feel? You mentioned the ACL coming off of it in year one, and you're being thrust into the spotlight. And frankly, with the injuries to some other guards last year, it gave you a more prominent role. And then the departure of Nani Falatea, like, so all of a sudden you were just in it.
Yeah.
So, as tough as that was, how different do you feel emotionally and physically this time this year compared to where you were last year?
I think last year was just, I for sure was a freshman. I was making freshman mistakes. But it takes a toll on your confidence because you, like, obviously I would love to have just, like, learned from someone. But I am grateful that I had the opportunity to learn from experience because I feel like that does go a long way. But I just, like, as far as, like, my body-wise, my knee-wise, I feel, like, 100% better. I just think it feels more natural. Last year I had a couple scares, and it, like, takes you back to ground zero. You just feel like you're, like, new again, like, fearful out there. But I've been working with Craig Manning on just, like, you know, getting over that fear and just, you know, playing because it is muscle memory, and you know how to play. I've been playing my whole life. So it does help my confidence knowing that, like, I made it through a whole season healthy. I can do it again. So.
Are you excited to not talk about freshman mistakes over a Sunday dinner with your family?
Yes. And turnovers, hopefully those are better this year. I had a lot this
year. Oh, great stuff. Well, it's great to have both of you in Studio B. Cambry, welcome to BYU Women's Basketball. We'll make sure that we get your name correct.
Thanks.
It's on record. We're good. And Amari, looking forward to watching you in year 2 at BYU.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Cambry.
Yes,
it's
Cambry.
Cambry.
Not Cambry. Cambry.
There you go. And Amari Whiting on BYU Sports Nation. This is a team that has a lot of question marks, Jason, but with that intrigue, they're kind of quietly putting together
so
a
much
roster
talent
that they feel like will compete, certainly with the top half of the Big 12.
So much talent coming into the program. Very exciting. All right, join us next week from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, where we'll be covering Big 12 Media Days. We'll interview notable players and coaches from around the Big 12 starting Tuesday at noon Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Can't wait for 115 degrees, but hey, we'll be inside.
And it's dry, right? It's a dry heat.
Yes. Hey, Puka Nacua knows a thing or two about making big plays in Allegiant Stadium and in the NFL. Has he entered the conversation already for the best BYU wide receiver ever with Austin Cauley? This is BYU USA.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
I didn't give enough credit to the heat in Las Vegas.
Yeah, you Jason. Did not.
I said 115 when we're down there for media days. It'll be 119 degrees.
Okay, but 120 is where I'm going to draw the line, okay?
You're not going if it's 120?
No, I'll be out. No, I'll be there. I'll be there.
Back at Studio B, I'm Spencer. He is Jason. It is time to welcome in our fabulous producer, Colton Potter, because he has another glorious trivia question centered around BYU football. And we're doing this because it's 100 years of BYU football, and we want to test our knowledge within that century of Cougar football. Colton, what do you have for us today?
All right, today's question. The most points BYU has ever scored in a single game was against UTEP on November 1st, 1980. How many points did BYU score?
83. It was 83-7.
And the answer is 83. It was 83-7.
Let's go!
Nice job, Spencer.
Very nice.
Jim McMahon
was the
quarterback.
Can we just make this Spencer segment? We just, when we come out, let's just go on a single shot.
Next time I'll let Jason answer first.
Sorry, Shem.
It's all right.
Jim McMahon had a big day.
Yes, he did. He most certainly
did. He had a big day. 83-7. Yeah, where are those days? Yeah, those are fun. I want one of those games again.
That would be, look, I've got a certain date that I would really like to have one of those games.
BYU put up 70 against a team that I believe you're thinking of right now. 70 with Ty Detmer. Let's get to today's headlines.
Preseason All-Big 12 team was announced yesterday. BYU defensive end Tyler Batty was BYU's only selection. Batty had 57 tackles last season to go along with 5.5 sacks and 9 tackles for loss.
The NFL announcing dates for training camps yesterday. Some notable dates are the following. Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamataia, and Jason Shepard, Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm going.
Camp. On July 16th.
Not July 16th, but I'm going.
I hope it's not 119 degrees.
Oh, my gosh. With humidity, it would be a die.
Fred Warner and the 49ers on July 23rd. Puka Nacua and the Rams also on the 23rd. And Zach Wilson and the Broncos start up on the 23rd. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens get going on July 20th. Taysom Hill, Jamal Williams, and the New Orleans Saints also part of that big July 23rd date.
I am so happy for former BYU baseball player Daniel Schneeman. He continues to swing a hot bat for the Cleveland Guardians. He went 1-for-4 yesterday with a 2-run home run.
Go!
His third of the season. Here's what it looked and sounded like on Bally Sports Cleveland with Matt Underwood on the call.
Swung in and ripped to deep right. Down the line! Fair ball and a home run! Sometimes you make that adjustment one pitch later.
The crack of the bat,
yes,
Jason.
That was a no-doubter. He crushed it. And then the flowing locks running around the bases. So happy for him. Awesome.
Will the real Slim Schneeman please stand up?
Elsewhere, Cougars in the minors, Jackson Clough also hit a home run yesterday. He also went 2-for-4 in the game, 3 RBIs for the Rochester Red Wings. Austin Deming had an RBI double for the Asheville Tourists, and Cy Nielsen picked up a save for the Greensboro Grasshoppers, striking out the only batter that he faced.
Congratulations to the 67 different BYU athletes across men's and women's track and field, baseball, softball, men's and women's golf, and men's and women's tennis who are recognized with academic All-Big 12 honors. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip. Jason, start us off.
All right. Sporting News put out a list highlighting the best wide receiver from each Big 12 team, and they pegged Austin Cauley as BYU's best. Mm. Does Puka Nacua deserve some consideration to be in that spot?
It depends on if they are including the entire college and pro career combined.
Yeah, and that I don't know.
Or if this is just what you did in college and then the NFL does not factor in. Because if it's just college,
then it's Austin Colley's spot. And I don't think it's going away for a very long time because the numbers at BYU in 3 years were ridiculous.
Yes.
If it includes the NFL, Puka may have already surpassed Austin because of how historic his rookie season was with the Rams. He was an all-pro, Jason.
Yeah.
Like, Austin Colley was never an all-pro. Puka was an all-pro! So it depends on how you want to shape. Just BYU or NFL? There you go.
Look, I'm going to assume since it's Big 12 team, they're talking about their college days. I think the answer is clear. They got it right. I think it's Austin Colley.
Yes.
Yes. Puka's pushed himself in the conversation, but it's Austin Colley.
There you go. Hey, leading up to BYU football's 100th season this year, we'll look back at some of the best BYU football players in program history. We're now 59 days away, as we documented with the countdown from the season opener. So let's look back at a player who wore number 59 today, Rich Kafusi. The Kafusi legacy has been going for a long time,
Yes,
Jason.
It has. Kafusi totaled 115 career tackles in his two seasons in Provo, along with 14 sacks and 7 tackles for loss. He helped lead BYU's defense with 9 tackles and 2 TFLs in the upset win over number 1 Miami back in 1990.
The belly hanging out is just a thing that is part of, like, the good old days of football.
Every once in a while,
I'll see some people
at the gym with the half shirt, like with the mesh top, and it does. It's very nostalgic.
Up next, Blaine Fowler. We'll ask him if he did that at one point.
I see Blaine. I was trying to not mention names, but I see Blaine at the gym.
The mesh jersey. He's still rocking it, baby. He's going to join us after the break to discuss the Big 12 preseason poll and Tyler Batty on the Big 12 preseason team. Does he like number 13 for the Cougars? This is BYUSN. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation on 4th of July Eve. He is Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton, hanging out in Studio B, and we open up the conversation over Zoom to include Uncle B, Blaine Fowler, dual threat analyst, national champion quarterback, and a man who I am sure at some point in his football career, and maybe even when he goes to the gym, is still wearing the mesh cutoff that shows your stomach. Right, Blaine?
Not at the gym anymore, because my 8-pack is a 1-pack. I had a friend that was actually seeing, like, not double, but seeing quad yet, and he's got it fixed. But he came over to me, and we were at the pool, and I'm like, hey, with your vision right now, do I actually have a 4-pack instead of a 1-pack? He said, well, let's just say that I do. And I was like, okay, great. So that's the last 4-pack I'll ever have.
Great stuff. All right, after that glorious insight into your 4-pack, we do need to talk BYU football, specifically with the Big 12 preseason poll. I like number 13, Blaine. Maybe because it's congruent and has some parallels with where BYU basketball was picked to finish at number 13. Then we watched them do something magical. And so, I don't know, I got my blue goggles on perhaps, but I like the number 13 because there's a lot of room to move up for the Cougars. And all they've heard for the past 2 months is how not good they're going to be. So what do you think of number 13?
I actually like it. And you want to know what? I think Kalani likes it. He has been relishing this offseason kind of being underrated, and nobody's giving them any credit for, and maybe it's not credit, but credit for the folks that are coming back that were brand new in on the team last year. You had 7 starters to start the season on offense that were in their first year in this offense, transfers in, and most of those guys are back. So I just feel like the offense is going to take a giant step forward, and especially if they can be settled at quarterback. But nobody's kind of looking at that and going, okay, what about all these guys that were new? Now, you contrast that on the defensive side. Defense was pretty solid for most of the year. I thought they were good enough to win a couple more games and get to a bowl game. And it was a brand new defense, first year defense. So everybody on the defense was in their first year in that system. And both on the offense and the defense, when they started spring ball, they picked up where they left off. And now they've advanced that. They're going to come into fall camp where with player run practices, the players that are running practice know what they're doing. There's not enough talk about that. We see it because we're inside and we see it. But from the outside, they're just looking at what BYU did last year. They don't see this huge influx, although there are some good new players. So they're not giving enough credit. I think Kalani loves it. I think the players love that Vegas is picking them to win 4.5 games. I just was with Keelan Marion and with Hinkley Ropati on Monday night. And just to talk to them kind of offline, they have a chip right now. And they're kind of liking it, and they're kind of preparing with a chip on their shoulder. So I'm all about, I love 13, and I think Kalani would love to just roll right into the season under the radar and surprise a bunch of people.
Anything else stand out to you, Blaine? Utah picked to win the conference, Kansas State second, Oklahoma State third. Do you agree with the top three? Anything else stand out?
Yeah, I think, and Kansas is fourth, which those would be my first four. The thing that stood out to me was, and this, keep in mind this is a media poll, but how close that first three were. You think about seven total votes and one first place vote is what separates Utah at one and Kansas State at two, which I think is fair. If Cam Rising is 100% healthy and can run around and make plays, and Keithy is also healthy, you know they're going to be good on defense. So they deserve to be up there in the top four. We'll see. It's a brand new league. One of the things that people discount is that there's four new teams in the league, and for the most part, the teams in the league have to play maybe two of them. So you've got to prepare for two teams that you haven't played, two brand new scouting reports, two teams you're not familiar with. Utah needs to prepare for like nine that they're not familiar with. It's an interesting task for these new teams to have to deal with in this first season. Maybe it's eight because they play more of the teams in the West, but that makes it a tough road. And it's a very different league. It's a way more physical league than the Pac-12 is. Maybe it doesn't have as many skilled players, but way more physical. And Utah's hung their hat on physicality. I think of teams like West Virginia. West Virginia is seventh. West Virginia, to me, with Green at quarterback and his dual threat, and then White, Jaheim Wright is the fast guy, and Donaldson at running back, the big physical guy. West Virginia is a team that I think may slip up into that top four that's down at number seven. Maybe they're not getting enough respect. So looking through the poll tells me exactly what I was thinking going in. It's anybody's game. There's a number of teams that could win it, and even some of the teams down toward the bottom may surprise people and jump up toward the top. And I think BYU could be one of those.
Blaine Fowler is with us on BYU Sports Nation. Strength of schedule is an interesting topic, Blaine, because the differences in a 16-team conference when you have a matrix between the toughest and the easiest, per se, is pretty stark. It is a big chasm. Notably, BYU, let's compare them to the team that's picked to win it, Utah. According to metrics, BYU's schedule is 33 spots harder. So 66 toughest in conference, Utah 99. How do you feel about the matrix? Does that bother you? Or are you just like, you know what, a 16-team conference is part of the deal?
That's what happens. And, you know, Utah, their first Pac-12 championship, like they've had some pretty favorable schedules. And I think about who they play at home and who they play away. The one thing I'll say about BYU, they're playing quality teams, especially in the crossover. What raises BYU's schedule, too, when you look at it overall, is the preseason schedule. SMU's no joke, guys. Wyoming on the road is, like, SMU's formidable in preseason, and Wyoming on the road is not an easy place to go play. So that's why I think there's a lot of pessimism around BYU in that 4.5, because people are thinking, hey, if you're a Big 12 team, you should schedule three teams you can just easily handle in your first three games, which most have, right? And you just get three wins out of the gate. Nobody's saying that for BYU right now. That's one of the reasons their schedule is tough as it is. But that's being in a big league. Like, sometimes it's going to be a little easier. Sometimes it's going to be a little tougher. I will say this. I like the teams that I think BYU plays the toughest matchups for them when I look at matchups at home.
Most of them, yeah.
And the matchups where they're better on the road. And so to me, I think the schedule is maybe not quite as tough as we think because of matchups and where they play against those matchups. Now, Utah is a tough matchup and they're on the road. But outside of that, I really like who they play at home and who they play on the road.
Tyler Batty was BYU's lone representative on the All Big 12 team that was also released yesterday. Did that surprise you at all? And what are your expectations for Batty? I think we all have high expectations for what he can do. We certainly know what the talent is.
Yeah, and I like him. He's one of these guys. I'm like second year in this defense where he has a better understanding. And it's not just the players having a better understanding of what's expected in this new scheme. It's the coaching staff. It's Jay Hill going, okay, now I've done a whole offseason of self-scout and I've been through spring ball. I understand the individual talents of the guys that we have. And now I can tailor this defense a little bit to fit that talent. I think you're going to see Tyler Batty be even better than he was last year. He's certainly crazy fit right now. I've seen him in the gym, not quite like Shep, but close. and just a little bigger than Shep, but not ripped like Shep.
He's right? a guy who can wear the cutoff mesh.
He could wear it as big as he is, right? And I think there's some key people that before it's all said and done have a chance to be, you know, on that all-conference team. It doesn't surprise me that Tyler's the only one on there right now because there's a lot of unknowns. But what about Jacob Robinson? He's as good as anybody in the league at corner. Like, Jacob could step up. Newcomer Jack Kelly, he could compete for Newcomer of the Year, and he could end up being a first-team All-Big 12 guy before it's all said and done. Yeah, and what about Connor Pay? Connor Pay could find himself, as this offensive line is better and the offense is more productive, he could find himself on a first team, you know, before it's all said and done. So there's some other players that I think we watch that could step up, and if BYU has success, there's more than just Tyler Batty on that team. But, you know, I think Kelly, and I've been saying this for a long time, he's a guy to watch. He's a guy that's I think he's a first-team All-Big 12 talent, and I think he's going to thrive in this defense because more than anyone on this team, he's played in this defense. Mm. So watch for him. He may be an All-Big 12 guy.
You just answered my next question, so I don't even have to ask it, which is which guy not named Tyler Batty could end up on one of these postseason All-Big 12 teams? You gave us some great answers. Jack Kelly, can't wait to watch him play. Blaine, great to catch up with you, my friend. Happy early 4th of July. Enjoy the holiday. I hope it involves a barbecue, lots of protein to work on that 4-pack, and just some good family time, man.
It's going to be all that, and then Stadium of Fire. We got to go support our boy Dave McCann.
Yes, we do. I'll be there. Jonas, bro. Listen, my bank account's feeling it, brother.
Yes,
for
mine too,
for the Jonas brothers.
We're all going, and then sometime in the next week, you and I are getting some golf in, Spencer.
Let's go.
So there you go.
Let's do it. Blaine, great
Thanks,
talk
Blaine.
To you, man. Appreciate it.
See you guys.
Blaine Fowler on BYU Sports Nation. He is our elite dual threat analyst. You know what makes Blaine so special is he is so versatile. Basketball,
yeah.
And football. And frankly, if you give talk to him for 15 minutes about any sport at BYU, like, he can talk back at you like an absolute
100%.
Genius and expert.
100%.
His mind is something special.
Yes. And don't let him fool you. He is in excellent shape.
Dude, he looks great.
Yeah.
He looks great. Up next, in honor of the 1996 throwback drop shadow uniforms. I love them so much. We'll reveal the top 5 plays from the 96 season when they were rocking those jerseys. This is BYUSN.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
We've made time for a top 5 Wednesday as part of our holiday celebration, specifically honoring the throwback uniforms, Jason, from the 1996 BYU football season, because BYU is going to wear them against Kansas State, fittingly.
Yes,
so the top 5 plays from the 96 season go now.
All right, number 5, Ben Cahoon's catch versus Texas A&M, BYU's opening game of the season against number 13 Texas A&M.
Layout!
Provo. Early in the fourth quarter, BYU trailing by 8. Sark connects with Cahoon, makes an incredible catch. Look at this. Oh my goodness, what a catch. Set up the game-tying score. What a performance, and what a player he was for BYU.
Number 4, Ethan Potchman, kicking great. Game-winning field goal to win the WAC championship game in overtime in dramatic fashion at Sam Boyd Stadium over Wyoming, a matchup of ranked teams. The Cougars had to rally in this game. I was there. It was my first trip to Las Vegas, and it was a memorable one. BYU wins 28-25, ultimately sending the Cougars to the Cotton Bowl on a 32-yard field goal.
Number 3, it's Sark to KO Kaualui versus Texas A&M. So BYU's trailing 37-34, a little over a minute to go. Sark hits KO for the game-winning touchdown. That play is in my head. I can remember everything.
Brent Musburger. Okay. KO punch.
BYU goes on to win 41-37 over the Aggies.
BYU bookended with Sark to KO.
Yes.
Number 2, in the Cotton Bowl. BYU also trailing late in the game. They dial it up again. Sark to KO in the Cotton Bowl to put BYU up 19-15, 28-yard touchdown. Beautiful play design. They took advantage of a cornerback that had to go out of the game. Now the Cougars got it done.
And number 1, Omar Morgan's game-sealing interception against Kansas State in the Cotton Bowl. BYU ends that year 14-1, one of the greatest teams in BYU football history.
Oh, Ed Keel calls out the audible. Omar Morgan hears it and steps in front on the slant for the interception. Question of the day. In honor of Independence Day, what are you going to miss most about BYU football being independent? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Custom 51 on X says, honestly, absolutely nothing. Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about the facility managers at LaBelle Edwards Stadium for everything that they've done to get that place ready to go?
LED lights. Our thanks to today's guests. Conversation continues 24-7 on social media. For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout-out to Tim McTyre. Happy 4th of July.
Go America!